Hey guys, this is Cole Kublik from WJOX in Birmingham and the SEC Network, and you're listening to the AU Wishbone.
White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 7-11.
You are listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
Bye-bye, Bo! Touchdown, Auburn!
The kick is good! Auburn wins! Shivers just ran through a man! Touchdown,
White Rocket Entertainment Studios in Southern Illinois and in Eastern Virginia. It's the AU Wishbone Podcast. John, how are you tonight?
I'm well, Van. How are you?
I'm okay. I have to tell folks who we are. I'm Van Allen Plexico, your host, and this is the AU Wishbone. And I'm joined, as always, by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
So, John, we had A-Day come and go, and it was kind of a swampy morass of an A-Day.
I have seldom felt less like, man, I wish I was at A-Day than I did on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm glad I skipped it. I'm glad that we talked about this last week, that virtually every A-Day, certainly that I ever went to, and I might have gone to a couple later on that you didn't, and you probably went to a few earlier on that I didn't, but I can't remember it ever raining on A-Day. I don't have any memory of ever getting rained on an A-Day. Well, they made up for it in one day, it looked like.
It did not look fun.
No.
Pleasant, so.
No. And that brought about the question, and we'll touch on this a little bit as we go along tonight, which is, I called it on Twitter. I said, A-Day is the most boring thing ever that I never miss. And it's like, I'm excited going into it. I look forward to it. I bust my tail to find it on whatever obscure TV channel it's on. I watch every minute of it. I'm usually bored to death by it. And when it's over, I'm like, thank God that's over. Hey, A-Day, everybody. Drive safely, you know? Why? What in the world is it? Why in the world? I mean, it must be that it's our only actual taste of at least something that pretends to be live Auburn football in a very long stretch before and after it. But yet it's usually not very good, right?
That's it. It's like this long, dark off season, and right here at the beginning of April, we're going to light a lantern for an hour or so and then put it out. And then we're going back in the dark for an hour. And you'll appreciate that light when it's shining on you. And you're like, oh, that's not as good as the full daylight we're going to get in a couple of months, but
right.
It's better than the dark.
Yeah, it's kind of like you're wandering through the desert dying of thirst. And you find a little pool of water, but it's a nasty, brackish, black pool of water, and you're like, hey, it's something wet, you know what I mean? It's not sand, but it was nasty, and I'm glad I'm not drinking it anymore, but it's not sand, you know, it's not nothing. So and on a weekend too that we had that in the Masters, and that was about it as far as I was concerned. I don't, you know, as far as sports go, there were no races that I was in. There were no IndyCar, no Formula One this weekend, nothing of any particular note. St. Louis soccer team played a game Saturday night and got shelled by Seattle, so that wasn't cool. So A-Day was like, it and the Masters were the only thing I had to latch on to this weekend. We're really coming into that dry spell, aren't we, of sports.
And we're past both of those now, so we're in the off season.
Yeah.
The depths
of the
off season.
Nothing now but baseball and the occasional race. And even then, and I don't like baseball, and even then, there's like a whole stretch of summer where there's no races, the summer break.
That's it.
How dare they have a lot?
And then at some point down the road in there, Van, we get to summer break time, we'll maybe have the preview magazines on the bookshelf, yeah, and you'll start to get excited again.
That's true. We have a few things to look forward to coming up down the road. That is true. We do have a few things. We always make the best of it. And, of course, we're getting into the time of the AU Wishbone calendar each year where we come up with creative shows because we don't have anything else to talk about. Now, this weekend we do. After this weekend, this is Monday night, we do have a few things to talk about. But after this, we're going to have to start manufacturing content.
And speaking of manufacturing content, 1 week from tonight on this very podcast, we will conduct an interview with Brett Whiteside, head of the Auburn NIL group, on to victory.
Oh, we will interview him. Of fire.
All right.
So if you have questions, intelligent questions, dumb questions, crazy questions you want to ask about Auburn NIL, send them on in. We're going to do the interview. We're going to ask the questions we want to ask and be professional about it. But if you have a thought about Auburn NIL, and we'll ask.
I'm looking forward to it because it's one of those things that happened so quickly, it seemed like, in the grand scheme of things. We kind of went from no money, to okay money, to NIL overnight becomes a thing. And we have to learn how it works. And, even a Coach Freeze said that, when it came along, he was at Liberty and it didn't even impact him much there. So he had to kind of learn it, the real ins and outs of it, kind of on the fly about the same time we did or even later.
That's right.
So, definitely looking forward to that. You put that together. All credit to you. That's awesome. Really looking forward to it.
One of our listeners hooked us up. I want to give credit to that.
Well, there you go. We have the best listeners in all of podcasting. They know it. We don't have the biggest podcast audience for an Auburn podcast, but John, there is no question we have the best. And I'm not just saying it to suck up. I'm saying that our audience, they like whatever the crap it is we're doing here. And what we're doing here, I don't know what it is, but they like it. and you know what I mean? We're not just giving news reports and updates. There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of depth going on here. It's funny, right before we went on the air, John and I were having a conversation about reading the novel Snow Crash. And I'm like, that's not a conversation I expected to have at the beginning of an Auburn football podcast. But here we are, because it's you and me. So, yeah, I really like our audience. I think that they'll like this, and I think that it'll be a thoughtful examination of where the sport is going and what it takes to compete and how the whole thing works, right? That's what I'm interested in. So, yeah, absolutely. All right, well, we had a day. We had a day, and it was a day, and otherwise known as the Auburn Spring Game. So we've already described it as a rainy morass. But, and you said boring but necessary question mark. And I'm like, well, yeah, I said it's the most boring thing I absolutely have to watch. So how would you describe A-Day and what do you think about it? Is there still a place for it? Is it still a valuable thing?
Well, the other thing that I didn't put it on the show notes for tonight, but the other thing that led into this week was Hugh Freeze bringing up the proposal of teams having spring scrimmages.
Yeah.
Which would be way more entertaining than scrimmaging yourself.
Yeah.
And, donate the money to charity, play some of the team. That would be fun.
The big national podcasts have talked about it this week, which did gave Freeze a little run this week in the national media, which I thought was nice. Every little bit helps, But they all seem to kind of say it's a cool idea, but here are all the things wrong with it. That was kind of the takeaway I had from listening to some national podcasts, is everybody's like, wow, that would be cool, but here's why they can't do it. And it involved everything from, now they did make the good case that it might actually be fewer injuries because only half your team is on the field at a time instead of both halves, which is true. But they, the case was made for things like how would it impact the transfer portal? Teams could basically scout the little team's players and then try to swipe their players. That was one of the things that was
They can do that already. We could go sit at Troy's spring game and then grab their good players. That is still possible.
That's a good point. And then things like, Alabama won't play any other teams in the state. So how are you going to do it with them if they won't play anybody?
Well, then they just play somebody from out of state and look bad. And everybody make fun of them.
Well, that's what we've been doing in the regular season for years now. We've played UAB. We've played Alabama, A&M, Alabama State. Have we played Troy? I don't think we played
A while
Troy.
Ago.
Did we?
But I don't know.
I don't. Okay. If it must have been a while ago.
I know we played Jacksonville State.
Too soon. I still have trauma.
Sorry.
I'm going to start twitching now from that Jacksonville State game. My gosh. I mean, you know, we've always pointed out the one thing Auburn historically has not done that even Alabama and LSU famously have done is lose to seriously lesser programs.
Yes.
We don't do that. And that was one where we came like within a hair's breadth of doing it. Man, that would have been the worst loss in Auburn history. And it wouldn't have even been caused by...
potatoes.
It would have been Gus, I believe, yeah. Mm. By the way, before we continue, I just went back this afternoon when I had a couple of minutes, and I watched the highlight videos of our games last year with LSU and Penn State, which I hadn't thought about or had any interest in watching before now, but I was just, I saw something about it. I was looking up some scores from last year or something, and I thought, you know, there were a couple of interesting games. If you watch the highlights of last year's LSU game, if you get about halfway into the second quarter, you've got to be thinking, there is no way we lose this game. We were killing LSU. And then just the mistakes after mistakes. Oh, my gosh. It was just traumatizing to relive. Because I'd forgotten that basically we were up 14 to nothing, maybe 17 to nothing or something. And then we just like kept giving them the ball and ushering them into the end zone. It was flabbergasting. It's funny too. It seems like it's our worst teams historically. It's our worst teams that almost beat LSU even in their worst years, right? The 2012 team almost beat LSU. I know people maybe don't remember that, but the 2012 team almost beat LSU, had them on the ropes.
I remember that.
And then last year's team almost beat LSU. Should have. Absolutely should have. There's no way we should have lost that game.
Speaking of too soon, come on, man. I'm still just rinsing this out of my system. And you're like, remember this game where we were up big and Ashford was throwing the ball over and then it just all went down the tubes?
Hey, you want to talk about the national championship game of Florida State? Hey!
No, I don't. No, I do not.
Well, we did put up a Frank Thomas statue and Frank was there. The Big Hurt, man. That was cool.
That was great. I wish the weather would have been better. I wish they could have played the baseball game Saturday.
I didn't realize they did.
They'd been a doubleheader on Sunday, I think. So
okay.
They got it in, but not on Saturday when they did the statue. So that was tough.
We haven't talked much about baseball yet this season. It seemed like they've kind of been struggling a little bit. There hadn't been a whole lot to talk about.
The offense is great. Pitching, especially relief pitching, not great. And starting pitching can't go deep in games. There's a lot of like, we're up 8, and then we're down 5.
Yeah.
And then we're up 3, and then we're down 4. Like,
it's kind of early 90s Braves going on there where you have good offense but no relief pitching. Oh, man. All right. Well, so getting into the A-Day game a little bit more in specific, but first I wanted to point out this fall we've got some big anniversaries, some big season anniversaries that they like to commemorate. And years ending in 3 have tended to be very good to Auburn. I've always said the 2004 team was a year late. That 2004 team should have been, if they'd brought Borges in a year earlier, we would have had it would have been a clean sweep of 83, 93, 03, and 13. And hey, maybe 23. Hey, who knows? Hello. This coming year is another year ending in 3, you know. But think about this. We've got the 110th anniversary of the 1913 National Championship. We got the 40th anniversary of the 1983 National Championship.
Ouch.
New York Times. We got the 30th anniversary of the 11-0 1993 team. And we got the 10th
Golf
anniversary.
Golf Digest National Title.
No, that was 04. And we've got the 10th anniversary of the 2013 team that played within one play of the national championship and won the SEC and had two of the biggest shocking wins in Auburn history. So all four of those teams need to be commemorated. I don't know if they're going to commemorate 1913. If they were going to do it, they should have done it 10 years ago on the 100th anniversary, which maybe they did. I don't know. I wasn't there. But 83, 93, and 13 all deserve some kind of special commemoration at halftime, don't you think?
Agree.
All three of those do, especially while the players, you know, are still around and are able to, you know,
I was going to say that the problem with the 1913 team is nobody's around.
Yeah, so. There's not anybody to bring out on the field. And come on out, guys.
Cricket, cricket.
No, guys, come on. No, there's nobody there. Oh, all right. What about the transfer portal is going on?
Well, this is important, and I think it's kind of snuck up on people. They actually moved the transfer portal window for football. It is April 15th to 30th. So it actually starts this Friday and then runs for 15 days, and then it's over. And so I think if Auburn's going to attract other players in the transfer portal, this is it before the season. But I think the other thing you should prepare yourself for is that some Auburn players are going to leave. It is going to happen. We are going to lose some people because everybody kind of knows where they stand after spring practice. So some guys who went in thinking I'm going to earn a spot and earn some playing time and they're not where they want to be in the depth chart may leave. So.
Well, I saw an interview with TJ Finley after before or after A-Day where, he said, oh, I'm here to compete. I want to win. I want to lead the team to a national championship. I want to go out there and compete with whoever. And then somebody asked him, well, if you end up not getting the starting job, will you still want to stay around and be the backup? And he basically replied,
I don't have facts to back this up.
So I take that as So in other words, if we bring in a big name transfer on day one of the portal, I could imagine TJ being going the opposite direction by the last day of the portal.
And this again, the transfer portal only applies to undergraduates, really. If you graduate and get a degree, you can transfer as a grad transfer, and that portal doesn't limit you. So I think TJ could fall into that category if he graduates at the end of the semester. But I think you're right. I think that's the other thing that happens. If Auburn brings in an edge rusher or a big-time receiver or quarterback or something, some of the other people on the depth chart at that position may look around and go, not for me.
And this is the time we've been waiting for if we're going to make a move for another quarterback.
This is it. This is the only time it's going to be open before the season starts.
Yeah.
So if we're going to get another quarterback, if we're going to add somebody else, this is it.
And this is what they've been saying is that they're going to try. That, they tried like three different guys back in the fall or whenever was. And it just fell through. It didn't work out for different reasons. So... And some of the reasons were very similar to how we ended up not getting some of the basketball players we wanted last year. Just the way that the school set up and academics and majors and things. There's just nothing you can do about that in the short term. So, this is it. And we'll see over the next, 3 weeks, we'll find out if we get another quarterback or not and another receiver or defensive end, I guess.
That's
the
yes.
Yeah, but... The thing is that what we want is what everybody wants, and you got to make the case that we would do a better job for you than anybody else. I did like that several players basically said, hey, I'm getting coached for the first time. They weren't like deliberately taking shots, at
potatoes,
but they made it very clear that what's happening now is not what was happening before.
You are correct.
Yeah.
Because it's not.
And
it's
we different. Knew. We've known that for a very long time. Put it this way. If your strategy of winning at SEC football is to not recruit good players necessarily, but to just develop them once you get the three stars on campus, and then you don't do anything to develop them, that's like not a good strategy. You know what I mean? Not trying to recruit top players and then not developing the ones you get... What are you relying on there to have a successful team at that point? I'm not sure
it's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see what happens here. So.
That is exactly. What exactly was his winning strategy?
Someone knows. God knows.
Yeah, and I'm not so sure that God knows. Are we back?
He's back.
All right.
He's back.
Right. Right in the middle of my audio clip and commentary there, we both dropped out. But fortunately, I don't record this over StreamYard. We only have our conversation over StreamYard. I wisely record everything on my system, so the audience will not notice anything happened just there. So it's all good. All right. Huge recruiting weekend. We had at least two Alabama commits on campus. That's unusual and cool.
And a lot of 4- and 5-star players from around the South wanted to be there. They wanted to be there to see A-Day happen, you know, and to connect. And a lot, all our current commits in the next class were there recruiting those players along with the coaches.
I hope that the thing they were most counting on was not seeing an exciting football display on the field, because with the weather and everything holding it all back, they really didn't get to see that. They got to see kind of a run game practice.
I hear you, and I think they have invited some of them to, you know, for what they're allowed to do, come to practice and see the actual, like, actual throwing the ball, for example.
Yeah. So. I hope that they had, like, a really good nacho party in the super nice complex, and they let them play PlayStation or Xbox or whatever, and they had a good time, because, yeah, that was not the most. When you're trying, I mean, it's like you're trying to make a good impression on this, on these young guys, and they get to watch the Weather Channel for 3 hours or two. They only played 3 quarters, didn't they? They shortened it. They ended up.
Yes, they did.
Cutting it off. To which I was like, oh, dang it. They're going to make a day shorter, man. Oh, yeah. Well, so what about the format? What did you think about that?
I said this before when he first announced it. If we're going to have a spring game, I think this is the only format that I'm still, like, mildly interested in.
Yeah.
Offense versus defense, put the points up on the board, let them go. It's easy to tell who's winning and how it's going.
Yeah.
Right? It's easy to tell where you are.
And it's clear that they did a really good job of prognosticating how many points they needed to spot the defense, because they got exactly that. It was 24-24. I mean, that was kind of cool that they got exactly the same number of points that they, you know, that they gave to the team.
Van, as the foremost fan of team defense, I'm deeply offended by the tie, okay? The defense should have won. Coach Freeze rigged it. He put his finger on the scale for the offense. He was biased toward the offense. He controlled the clock and stopped it right before half when it should have expired to give him time to kick a field goal right before the half. And then I think he manipulated the clock at the end to give him a chance to tie it up. And so I wanted to say that I was cheering for the defense, and I felt like Coach Freeze put his finger on the scale and pushed it to allow the offense to come back and tie the game. And even though they shortened it, you know, to 3 quarters, which clearly if they'd have kept going, the offense would have won, but they did shorten the game to 3 quarters, but then they allowed the offense to come back and tie it, and I had a problem with that.
Well, and that's fair enough. Did you hear what he suggested and they turned down, the coordinators?
No.
Freeze got on the radio before the kick at the end, and he said to them, do you guys want to put the ball on the 3-yard line and have one play to win it or lose it? Or do you want to just let him kick the field goal? And they both said, just kick the field goal. So talk about rigging it. That would have basically turned the whole thing into just one play, one way or the other. You'd have definitely gotten a win or a loss, unless there's a 3-point touchdown. So, but I did like that they let the kicker come out and kick a game, basically tying. He got to feel like Win Lyle in the
pressure.
Sugar Bowl. Yeah, it was. It was a steak versus hot dogs. The winners got steak, losers got hot dogs. They had to put the hot dogs back in the freezer. Everybody got steak. But for just a moment there, McPherson got to feel like Win Lyle in the Sugar Bowl. That, not everybody gets to feel like Win Lyle in the Sugar Bowl against Syracuse. So bless his heart, he got to kick that tie. They should call that the Jeff Berger Memorial Trophy for that one, you know. But he did miss a long field goal earlier, so I thought it kind of worked out.
It was pouring down rain. It was a tough kick environment.
And he was good. He did good. He only missed one, I think. Maybe like 2 for 3 or something, yeah. It's interesting to be – this is the first time that we haven't had a Carlson kicking since, what, 14 or something maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Since Cody Parkey?
Long time.
Yeah, Cody Parkey. To me it almost feels like Anders Carlson has only been there a couple of years, and then I realize – Anders Carlson was our kicker in the 2019 Iron Bowl. It's been a while.
It's been a minute.
Yeah. So bless his heart. All right. Let's see. Salute to the fans that went.
We have to. I mean, the fans, if you went to that game and you sat through the rain and the bad weather, you know, and the media who went to the game and worked on the sidelines and stuff, like, I salute you. Like that, you
Chris
are
Doering.
A
true Chris Doering
fan.
Was down there in a hoodie, basically talking to people. Yeah.
I know, and I appreciate everybody who went in that stadium. And they said there was 16,000. I'm not sure about that number, but
yeah,
I do appreciate it because I know the players appreciate it. But it was a miserable day to be out there.
They were crammed up under the decks on both sides. Yeah. I think. By the way, it's funny that Chris Doering was down there getting wet because the last time I remember him playing in that stadium was 95 when it was raining, and he single-handedly demolished us in the second quarter.
He annihilated us.
Oh, man. He was a good receiver. Well, single-handedly with the help from Werfel, but yeah. All right, let's see. What have we not talked about? What did we learn, if anything, from this A-Day game?
Well, the first thing before we get to lessons is the thing we say every year at the spring game. If you're great at one thing, it means the other side of the ball is not good.
I know. I that's another thing I tweeted. I said, should I be concerned that our awesome running game means our run defense is bad? I mean, that's the thing. You never know how to take anything in A-Day because anything that's good means that the other side did something bad or maybe. I don't know.
Our run defense was not good last year, and clearly we brought in some new linebackers, some new defensive linemen, but we got a ways to go in that. But the other thing I think is clear, like the running game was strong, and the new look offensive line made a difference. There was not running backs getting hit in the backfield.
Oh, amen to that. Of course, we weren't having our defense get in the backfield either, so. And that's without much of a threat of a pass, so it's a little concerning that they just lined right up and ran the ball down the throats of the defense.
It is because you're right. The defense knew they were going to run the ball. They weren't really, worried about the deep pass. They were running up to defend the run, and they still had that success.
I don't think the run game's going to look quite like that when we get into the real SEC season. I don't see us moving the ball like that on Georgia or Alabama by any means.
Not Georgia or Alabama, but I do think we're going to be I'm just going to say this now. We're going to be a much better running team than we have been the last few years.
Yeah.
A, because we have a more competent and coherent offense, a better coached offense.
Mm-hmm.
And B, I think the talent on the offensive line is better.
Yeah.
And we think, who got a very few carries? Jarquez Hunter, because they know what he can do, and he's too valuable to risk in this game.
Yeah.
So I think he, behind a solid offensive line, I think that's the one thing we learned is that I think we're going to be okay there.
Well, let's talk about some of those players. We had the running backs, I think, all pretty much looked good. Damari Alston, they couldn't praise him enough. They said that I think it was Freeze or maybe Field Marshal that said that Alston, they kind of took him for granted or something, and they really look back and realize just how solid he's been just from day one there, which is good. And then what about Brian Batty?
Batty? I think he was good. I think he had one really good run where he kind of sliced through the defense and weaved across the field, but he showed some of that speed. And this was – at a couple of the runs, he was more – he wasn't straight up the gut, but he was more inside than you would think he would be for a smaller guy. And he was effective. So I'm excited to see what he can do. I definitely think he's going to be a good change of pace back for the other two.
And surely kick returner. You don't bring in an All-American kick returner and then not have him return kicks, right?
That's it. Put him back there. Let him make his magic. So
Kay and Lee, I guess the defensive back that we brought in that we got away from Ohio State.
Yeah, he played a lot in this game and made a lot of plays. Like, he was all over a lot of the receivers. He made stuff happen. And coming up and playing the run, he looks solid. So, I mean, that's a guy. It's exciting because, this staff has already shown they're going to play freshmen. Connor Liu started an offensive line, and Kane Lee played a lot. And Falk, our big defensive end recruit, played a lot. So I think those guys are all going to play as true freshmen.
He was like number 15, and I kept seeing him all over the place. Every time there'd be a scrum, he'd come popping out of there looking like he wanted to kill somebody. That's good. Yeah, he's a good one. Justin Rogers, remind me who that is. I don't even remember that name.
That's the big defensive tackle we got from Kentucky.
Oh, the Kentucky
guy. It was like their highest-rated recruit guy ever. And he's like – 375 pounds or something. He is an enormous human being, and he really fills up the middle of the line when he's playing. So I just think there's been times recently where we didn't have enough talented, strong guys to put on the defensive line to hold up against the Georgias and the Alabamas, and you know, when they're pounding the ball, running against us, and I think we can do that this year. So I'm just saying that. I think this guy's going to make a difference in there.
The receivers, not a lot of great catching. There was some. Every time I saw a pass, I seemed like the receiver or the tight end dropped the ball. I guess it's just because it was wet, but there was a lot of dropping the ball. But it seemed to be getting to them. I thought that the quarterbacks looked pretty good getting the ball, at least getting the ball to them, and they didn't necessarily catch it and put it away.
Yeah, Ashford had one good throw down the seam, and Gurner had one good pass to Landon King. And so you're right, the weather was terrible, and they were trying to throw the ball a lot, but they weren't having a lot of success either. So.
No. Yeah, by the way, we all learned how to pronounce Holden Gurner. Finally, I've been trying to take it at the way it's spelled, but silly me, right? Because his mother said it's like Turner with a G, Gurner. You just ignore the I, basically, I guess. There's no I there, John. Look away. No I. It's just Gurner. So, okay, fine, whatever.
So I can just call him Turner with a G.
Turner with a G, that's what she says. Hey, as somebody who's gone through a similar thing, I've always said it's like Mexico, but with a PL. And then people will immediately go, oh, like Texaco. I'm like, no, there's no A. There's no A. Just go with Mexico with a PL. There's no A. All right. TJ Finley. He was TJ Finley, which is not the highest praise I could offer.
Wow.
Yeah. Just okay, TJ.
All right. Over percentage chance that TJ Finley is on the roster August 1st.
On the roster.
The Auburn roster.
Yeah. Thanks for specifying there. Whose roster will he be on August 1st? Because I think the percentage he'll be on ours is 30% at best.
I was going to say that's high, maybe.
Yeah.
Out of like Nichols State or something like that.
Oh, wow. You think he's going to fall that far down?
We'll see.
I mean, I don't know where he would fit in, though.
Could go to Louisiana Monroe and play for the...
Yeah, that's
man
the
Terry.
That's kind
Our
of
man
the
Terry.
Yeah, hey. Oh man. That's kind of the level I'm thinking that he needs to be at. It didn't work for him at LSU. It's not working here. Okay, so we talked about running the ball, the offensive line, the running backs. What about the defense? What do you think? I mean, is the run issue is it going to be an issue with the running game, or should we not worry about it, or
Listen, I'm worried about it. We were not good against the run last year. I think we have a lot more talent and beef in the front seven, but we got to get a lot better. I mean, there were some bad angles by linebackers and stuff, and I didn't like that. And some of our guys got pushed around a little bit by the offensive line when it came to it. So, and I know they weren't – probably the coaches would have called it differently if it was a real game, but – You know, I think this is something that we're all going to keep our eye on in the first couple of games. How are we doing in run defense? How are we doing in run defense? We play our first big conference opponent or whatever. How are we doing in run defense? That's what we're going to be looking at.
The last two or three years, we've gotten run over pretty good by some, especially Georgia. Mm-hmm. Not so much Alabama. We've like been able to control Alabama more or less.
Agree.
But Georgia has just run roughshod over us the last couple of years in the run game. Just like not even trying, it seemed like. So
just wore us down.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, that was A-Day, and that's what we know about football right now. Anything else to kind of keep an eye on? I mean, the portal's opening up in a few days, and we'll see what happens with quarterback and defensive end.
Yeah, but the other thing is just it cannot be stated enough how big a recruiting thing that was. They really did a good job getting players on campus, and I think in the long run, you know, a year from now with the player, it's going to pay off. So.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see what happens also in terms of if they get any commitments out of that crowd. Man, I'd love to get a – I'd love to – just one of those Alabama guys getting away from Alabama. And the last I heard is that one of them was saying it's really close now. They committed to Alabama, but every time, you know, but he keeps coming back to Auburn. He likes the coaches. He likes the facilities. He likes everything about it. He said it's pretty close. He said they're making it really hard now. So that's good. I like it. I like that idea a whole lot. So – all right, we got three basketball tidbits for you. First up is Stretch Akinbola will not spend his ninth year of eligibility on the Plains. He's leaving to go somewhere else, right? I don't know where else.
Yes.
And that's fine. I mean, when you're not even getting in the game and, you know, when Lior Berman is getting great long stretches of game time and you're not even getting in behind Dylan Cardwell when Dylan's hurt, clearly, you're not going to play, right? He just, for whatever reason, Akinbola was just not going to play for us. And so.
But I also think, like, if you have 12 or 13 guys, everybody isn't going to play.
Yeah.
Everybody wants this, but you can't have 12, like, high school All-American five stars on your team. There's going to be some unhappy people at the end of the bench who are going to leave. This is what happens to North Carolina and those kind of schools all the time. So you got it. So part of there's a real value is somebody like Stretch who is happy being a role player, happy being a practice guy, simulate the other team and what they're doing on offense and defense or whatever, and make the, you know, the starters work in practice, but is not going to complain or whine about his minutes, pout or whatever. So I think that's important.
But like I said, when Dylan Cardwell was hurt and Broom would come out, they still didn't go to Stretch. They went to Traylor
at one point.
Yeah, and that didn't work out either. So, all right, so that's one thing. It just seems like he's been forever. I feel like he was on the 19 team. I feel like he was on Bruce's first team, honestly. We knew a Flanagan was probably going to leave, but I wasn't expecting it to be the elder Flanagan. But Wes Flanagan is leaving for a similar job at Ole Miss. What the heck? Did they offer him more money, or did he just want to change the scenery? I know he's friends with Beard, isn't it, the guy that's the coach there?
He's worked with that coach before he came to Auburn. He worked with that coach.
So. Right. But, okay.
And I think it's not so apparent at Auburn, but I think there's basically kind of a pecking order of assistant coaches at schools, kind of 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever.
Yeah.
And I think he can go to Ole Miss and be kind of the number one assistant, and maybe at Auburn he was the 2 or 3, 4 assistant. So I think that's
I always got the impression he was the number one assistant.
Maybe he was at the beginning, but I think maybe Steven is now.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe. Well. I love Wes. I love watching him as our point guard. I've loved watching him as a coach. He's a good recruiter and everything, so I certainly wish him the best. I mean, he did serve as a head coach briefly and didn't do too well, but that was earlier, and so maybe, you know, we'll see what happens. But I hate him going to a rival in the same division and leaving his alma mater.
Some people think this means that Allen's going with him.
Oh, no. Oh, I don't want to see Flan playing for Ole Miss. Ugh. Well, ugh. Ugh, no.
That was how you really feel, Van.
Don't. Oh, no. Oh, man. That would be depressing. I'm not even going to. I could do a comedy bit out of this. I don't even want to because that's just depressing. Well, anyway, so who do you think you have any insights on where we might go with that spot for assistant coach? Bring in somebody? I mean.
Well, I always. It's possible. I think Wes Flanagan was a great recruiter. And I think that really matters. And so they may look around to get somebody who's a good young recruiter. But I also think they probably have some guys on staff as an analyst or in on-court coaching roles that they may look at them too. So
that's true. But, yeah, it's funny because when I think of losing a good recruiter off of our basketball staff, I just think my immediate knee-jerk reaction is, oh, no, because that's what happened with Sonny. He lost his good recruiting assistant, and then it all kind of started going down. But I have to stop and remember our program and Coach Pearl have the reputation now that you should be able to reload, right? I mean, surely.
Listen, there are 100 good assistant coaches emailing their resume to Bruce Pearl right this second during this podcast. And he's going to be able to pick out of that pile somebody that he wants to hire.
It's a different world. It really is. This isn't 1995, and we're like, oh, man, we're going to have to go get the you know, the Louisiana Tech guy that won 5 games last year instead of 4. So, oh, man. All right. And then the number 3 thing is Uncle Jesse from Dukes of Hazzard, Denver Jones. I enjoyed his TV work in the 70s and 80s. I enjoyed his TV work in the 70s and 80s. Denver Jones. I think he was on Gilligan's Island.
Is that really his name, or are you making that up?
Denver Jones? You wrote it?
Was that the actor's real name?
No.
I know Denver, that's a basketball player's real name.
Denver so. Denver Pyle is the guy I'm thinking of.
Okay.
And Bob Denver. I'm taking all the Denvers and John Denver. I'm taking all the Denvers except the city, and I'm compiling them into one 1970s, 80s TV character that I'm basically comparing our basketball player to. But that's okay, because he's a shooting guard, and we needed that.
If you drew a picture of what Auburn needed as a player, tall shooting guard, not just a shooter, but a scorer.
Yes.
Somebody that's averaged more than 20 points a game, an excellent outside shooter, and somebody who can finish at the rim, who's a 6'4 player who can defend bigger guards without fouling, and who can get to the basket and while defended, draw fouls on the opponent and make free throws on a regular basis at a high level. That's the picture you would draw, and that's what Denver Jones is.
You make a good point, because we had some shooters on the last couple of years' teams. Oh, we had some shooters. Scores, not so much in some cases, but oh, they'd put it up. Yeah. So, man, we need about 3 more of this guy, don't we? I mean, that would solve what ails you, cure what ails you.
And the other thing about him being a scorer is not just that he's a good outside shooter, but he could create his own shot. He doesn't need 3 good screens to get open to get a shot off. But also that he can, you know, in the open court or in the half-court offense, he can finish at the rim and score, not finish at the rim and get blocked or knocked down and get foul shots, whatever. He can score on people.
I watched a highlight video of him at FIU, and it was exactly what you're saying. He was either creating his own shot from outside and hitting, driving to the basket and laying it in or putting it in over somebody, not getting smashed to the ground without even getting the shot off. And it looked like a lot of the time at FIU, he had to create his own shot because he wasn't getting a lot of help. He would get one screen and then he would go and do it.
Absolutely. And he could do the thing which you talked about a few weeks ago, is he can hit the mid-range jumper.
Yeah.
If everybody's guarding the 3-point line. But also, I just see the scenario where pass the ball into Broom, defense collapses, he passes back out to Denver Jones, boom, open shot. Like, I just guess they good. It's gonna be there. It is going to be there.
20+ points a game, 37% 3-point shooter. I like it. 80+% free throw shooter. I like it. Again, we need 3 more of this guy. Everything I saw the last few weeks has been that he was our number one priority on the transfer portal.
He was.
Is there anybody else that you see that we might be bringing in? I haven't heard anybody else.
Oh, yeah. No, there's a couple other guys we're still going after. There's another Rice guard.
Mm.
And we're still after the guy from Georgia, Okendo.
Oh, yeah.
There's a big center, a young center, like a 7-footer, that was a really strong rebounder last year that we're looking at. So I think they're not done. And, again, we still everybody on the roster isn't a sure thing to come back still either, right?
No,
It's still possible for Jalen Williams or Alan Flanagan to leave in particular. And so I think if either one of those guys leaves, I think we'll plug in another person at that position. But in the backcourt, you know, with the guards, you got Trey Donaldson. You got our true freshman who's been playing with the Team USA high school players and putting on a show, shooting and making good plays. That guy, Aiden Holloway, looks like a real player. So you put Trey Donaldson.
2 good point guards.
Aiden Holloway. And then you got Denver Jones. And right now, KD Johnson coming off the bench as like the 4th guard or whatever is fine, you know?
And then Broom probably coming back, as far as we know.
Right now, Broom, Flanagan, and Jalen Williams. So.
And Chris Moore is there.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right.
So we need another forward.
Yeah.
We still got Dylan Cardwell on the roster. So. Mm-hmm.
Good backup center.
Yeah, we need another forward for sure, though. Another, and you know, a guy who could play defense on the perimeter, like Chris Moore, can rebound, back up those two forward spots.
Yeah, that all sounds good. I mean, so we should be better next year if this can, if we can line this up right. This team next year should be better than the team this year. And I mean, remember we pointed out that this year's team, this past year's team, should have been better, but just some things happened, and we ended up, instead of having that turnover like we had last year with the team that did, that looked so good, we ended up basically having the leftovers of that team plus Broom, and that just wasn't really enough. Well, Trey Donaldson a little bit, but mostly it was just last year's. It was very much like the 2020 team in a way. It was like the leftovers with not a lot of new additions. So hopefully this year it'll look more like 2021-22, where we bring in whole new guys and really juice it all up.
I agree 100%. And I don't think we're close to done. I think we're going to take two or three more good players. So
I mean, it's going to be a very different team. It's your different assistant coach.
Yes.
Different point guard, different shooting guard, maybe forward, some of the backups. So, all right. Well, we have a winner. In fact, let me see. We have a winner in the NCAA Bracket Challenge. And I guess we had the winner as soon as we went off the air last week, but we got
I think we had the winner before we went off the air, the way that game was going.
The way that game was going. And if you took my advice, you made a lot of money off of it, because I promised you, I guaranteed a win by UConn. And as always, it's what happened. So... because that's just the way it always goes. It was so obvious. So we said that either AU fan at KFC or the guy that ended up finishing second, I forget who it was.
It was Alex Mahan.
Yeah. One of them was going to win depending on who won the game, but AU fan had UConn, right? And so there you go. He got the national champion winner right. It's hard to top that. And so especially when it's four seed? That was...
He finished like in the 98th percentile, I think, of people in the ESPN.com picking.
That's pretty good.
Won our bracket challenge going away. So congratulations to him. Great job.
Yeah, racked up a lot of points. And you had a note there?
I'm just happy I beat Boris the Tiger. Listen, I didn't come close to winning. I didn't come anywhere in the same plane as winning. But I beat Boris, and that is victory.
Because he would have totally
have to
rubbed
listen
it in.
To that as I'm saying, I don't have to listen to that stuff. The animal talk smack to me again for another year.
That's right. Oh, Boris. He's moved on now. He's all wrapped up in recruiting. He has his headset on, and he's digging into recruiting magazines. So, but, yeah, I don't remember where I ended up. I ended up like 20th. There was a brief shining moment that I was number four, and then it all came crashing down when Houston lost. So, well. We got to thank our patrons, John. We don't do ads on this here program. We depend entirely on our listeners. In just a second, we're going to do the Guess the Game from Jared. But first, I got to quickly thank our patrons who keep the show going. If you want to join their hallowed ranks, go to www.auwishbone.com, www.auwishbone.com. Click on the big orange button. It will take you straight to the Patreon site where you can sign up, and you can get information as it comes out to join our various leagues and competitions that we do, including the just completed NCAA tournament. We have our Fantasy Formula One League going on right now. We do things all throughout the year. Also, when you sign up, you can put whatever name you like in the name space on there and change it whenever you want to. And that's what I read. And some people even put audio soundbite instructions. And so we get quite a fun bit of business here with that. So without further ado, here are the folks currently keeping the program operating at peak efficiency. They include Samuel Salvatore, the untouchable one, plus Chris and Clinton Stewart, Boris the Tiger's burner account, Carl Von Drunker, Logan Chilton, Van and John say no more.
Jones barbecue foot massage.
And I say
no.
I think that's how you wanted that done. And Kanjian, Bill Weathers. I haven't played that one till now. I'm trying to save it and keep it fresh. Bradley Blackman, Daniel Odom, Eric Morgan, Gary Grant, a.k.a. AU Fan at KSC. There's our winner of the NCAA tournament bracket. Matt Flowers, Michael Kirshner, Phil Amthor, says...
No! I'm devastated! I'm devastated and they're celebrating right in front of me! This is the worst! This is the worst!
But...
No!
That last note, John just put on a great silent performance of it. That was very well, very well. Please clap. Richard Stevens, Steve Trewick, Susan Trewick, Trombone Tiger, Willie Carden. This one says we got to
dispel once and for all with this fiction
that Auburn is the only team from the state to make the Final Four. Yeah, we are the only one. I said that wrong. It's not that we dispel the fiction that Auburn is. It's dispel the fiction because Auburn is the only team to make the Final Four. That's right. This is the ever popular. I have such a hard time sometimes. This is the ever popular.
Tonight's forecast. A freeze is coming.
That's right. And we saw some portal action paying fruits and benefits out there on the A-Day field a little bit. 76 Tiger Esquire, sleazy shyster and health inspector liaison for
Jones Barbecue Foot Massage.
That's right. Alex Browns bleeds orange and blue. Blynn Budworth. I think he changed that around just to mess me up. Chris Hilton, Chris Thrash, Clay Henson, Dan Thompson, Earl Ricks, Bobby. Have I told you my joke about dementia yet? Oh, no. Now, that sounds like me every episode. He says, I just love dad jokes and hope more people put dad jokes as their name. All right. There, the gauntlet has been thrown down. Hope Springs Eternal. Random sound clip. Which one have I not done in a while? Let's go with...
Oh, my! Touchdown, Auburn! Touchdown, Auburn! Touchdown, Auburn! Auburn goes ahead! Unbelievable! Unbelievable! Touchdown, Auburn!
Ah, it's so good. So good. Jacob and Robin Fleming, Catherine England, Kevin Smith... Lane Middleton, Logan, Mickey B, No One Fights Like Gaston, I'll Go Rhythm and Blues, Paul Miles, Reynolds Wolf, Rich Reimer, Rusty Owen, Steve Harlan, Theodore Gary, Van, let's hear your best impression of Jones Barbecue. Don't play the clip. Jones Barbecue Foot Massage. There you go. I'm not going to do but one verse. Thank you.
Please clap.
All right. We also have to thank Warhammer 6. I heard there was a Warhammer video of South Park I got to find on YouTube. WDE Richie Freeze plus White Walker. Winter is coming. Sorry, John. Forgot to get rid of the Jones Barbecue after the first week. Okay. He got a lot into that message. Wes Atkinson, William Morgan, Wilson Beard, Wynn Carroll, Winston Body, Auburn Blue, Blake Heron, Boris the Tiger, Brandon Smith, Carter Glaus, Colby Butler, Corey Smyer, David D., David Simpson, Die Bama, Hugo Sleaze's A Study of the Auburn Creed and Other Irrelevant Texts. Wow. Don't hold anything back. Josh Teal, Just Wait Till Next Year, Kevin Mahan, Luther and Kelly Ottaway. I think Kevin was our runner-up. Melissa Blackstone, official Auburn area San Diego State fan club president since March 24, 2023. Amen to that. On to victory, Papa Todd, Patrick Williams, and our one-time and anonymous donors, yeah! Randall Walker, not yet Patrick, Randall Walker, Rob Morgan, Russell Milling, Sarah Hines, Sasquatch, Shane Bailey, Shannon Butson, Stephen Houston, Tim Pittman, Timothy, Tony Perry, Weagle87, at the Mad Reaper Pepper Company on Instagram. I haven't had any Reaper Madness lately. I need to get that out. Alex Wynn. Man, Alex has been with us since the beginning. Bless your heart, Alex. Ben Amos, Ben Regis, Brian Albanese, Charles Mooney, Chris Cummo, Chris Braun, Colonel Dad, a.k.a. Ari Benzane. I'm missing my category, Mr. Construction Tiger, Daniel Barnett, plus, finally, Daniel Witten, Darren Pyle, Elizabeth Donald, Escort, Hugh Freeze, elsewhere. We
got to get better at celebrating.
I'll buy this for a dollar. James Taylor, Jason Albrecht, Jeremiah Schumann, Jim McCrory, Joey Miller, Joseph Iliff, J.T. Jarhead, Justin Bean, Kenneth Brent Rains, who always points out that
you have failed me for the last time
to the barbecue, a.k.a. Auburn Dad for Life, Mark Squire, MVP, Captivating Kathy Bright,
your love of the half things leaf
has clearly slowed your mind.
My bracket is busted, but I am still Tiger exclusive mouse catcher for
Jones Barbecue Foot Massage.
That's right. New York Tiger was accused of harassing the masseuse at
Jones Barbecue Foot Massage.
To which he says,
hey now.
All right. Paul Bankson, Rich Hammett, Royce Alvarez, Russell Souther, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, Spanky. I am at the bottom of this list because
Scott Wilson!
Clap for while you can, the monkey boy.
Sports Illustrated's Auburn Elvis, Stephen Thompson, the Slinko family, Tim Sauls, Trevor Johnson. Want to confirm I am not entering the patron transfer portal for another podcast. Yay! Plus, why are you booing John? He's right. Brant Rumble and our one-time and anonymous donors. We thank you all. We thank all of our patrons who, as they walk by, the listeners of other podcasts point at them and say,
there they are.
Oh, yeah.
There they are.
Are they not a shame on their country?
Well, but they're glory to us, man. Bless you all. All right, we don't have a Fantasy Formula One update because there was no race last week, but there's one coming up. John, the Formula One race this coming weekend is the best one of the year, always.
Why?
It's Baku. It's Baku. Baku in Azerbaijan. It's the best one because half the track is a long straightaway down and a long straightaway back where they go really, really fast, and the other half of the track is around the outside of a medieval castle with passageways about the width of the cars. And so you get cars going really, really fast and passing each other on half the track, and you get them crashing all each over each other on the other end of the track. It is glorious. This, if you're going to watch one Formula One race every year, I recommend Baku. I think it is absolutely the best one. Whereas if you're going to skip one, skip Monaco, because it's famous, but it's boring. It's a parade. You can't pass on those streets. It's whoever wins. It's basically Monaco is whoever gets the pole is going to win unless the car blows up. But Baku is awesome. Baku is where there have been like Lance Stroll on the podium when he didn't have a good car like he does this year. It's where you've had the two Red Bulls run over each other and put each other out of the race. There's been all kind of fun stuff happening at Baku. So I'm really looking forward to this one. So. We've got a Guess the Game from Jared. You ready?
Bring it on. Who can
be now? Hello, Van, John, the rest of the AU Wishbone family. This is Jared Albrecht, the yard sale artist here with Guess the Game number 87. Guess the Game 87 is brought to you by AU Tweep on Twitter. Fair warning on this one. I am going to bleep one name and then the announcer gives a big hint at the end of the audio clip. I'm going to bleep that one, but of course it will unbleep in the hint file. So let's give it a listen. Second down. All right, guys, I'll see you in the hint file.
All right. The Tigers have done it in dramatic fashion, and it sounded like a goal line stop at the end of the game. I honestly, and that was not a big-time announcer, I kind of think about the game we were referring earlier. Was that like the end of the Jacksonville State game? It's something like that.
My first thought was either Georgia when we stopped their running back on the goal line in 2001 in Athens, or in the game where Cadillac had 40 carries as a freshman, or the 2013 miracle in Jordan-Hare when we stopped Adrian Murray and stuffed him.
But they said it was 40. He said 41-34 at that point.
Yeah, yeah. So we had scored a touchdown to go up by 7. That score doesn't ring a bell to me. That score, 41-34, because it must have been tied 34-34, and then we scored a touchdown. Or maybe it was 35-34, and we scored a touchdown and missed the extra point. Or I don't have any idea. I don't know why. You know what happens is when I fixate on one team, it makes me not be able to think as clearly about the others.
But here's something else I want you to think about. He said the Tigers have done it again.
Yeah, like okay. They've been surprising people this season.
So, like they've been pulling close wins out, maybe.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, the year that we did a number of close wins in a row was... That happened, I want to say, in 2001 when we Duvall kicked field goals at the end to win several games. That was one year we pulled several.
I was thinking about more recently. I was thinking about, like, the year we had, like, the dramatic last-second win at Kentucky and Arkansas and then Jacksonville State. Weren't those all in a row?
I don't remember that. I mean, it may very well be. It doesn't ring a bell for me.
All right. The other part is it's tough to tell, is that a newer clip or an older clip?
Let me see if I can hit kind of the middle with it. Hold on.
Let's give it a listen. Second down.
That's a long.
All right, guys, I'll see you in the hen file.
He's referencing a player's name or a coach's name at the end there.
41. They've done it. Can you believe it? They've done it again. Well, was that a stop? Did somebody try to run the ball?
We stopped them. The other team had the ball. They were trying to score, run it in at the end, and we stopped them.
93 Vanderbilt. I mean, that doesn't.
Then it was a 41-34. Too. I mean, they didn't score that many.
You're right. It just doesn't ring a bell. I think we're going to have to go to the hint. But this is a good one. I like it. I like when we can't figure it out. All right, Jared, you got a good one on deck here. Let's see. And that last little bit. Well, we may be able to figure it out before we get that long thing at the end.
Here we are in the hint file. Let's get rid of those bleeps and see what we can see.
Second down.
Hold on. Ralph?
Chris Ralph, Mississippi State.
Mississippi State 2011? Okay, that Mississippi State game was at home, and it sounded like the crowd got excited. We did stop them running on the goal line, and it would be Mississippi State, so it wouldn't necessarily have the biggest announcers. It was like an 11 o'clock game.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Mississippi State. I think that's 2011. I think it was 2011. Let's let it carry back on.
No timeouts left. 3, 2, 1. Ball game. Can you believe it? The Tigers have done it again in dramatic fashion. 41-34. The streak is alive at 17.
2011.
Okay, guys, I will see you in the answer file.
Yeah, because we still hadn't – the Utah State one was the one that was the miraculous season opener that year, remember? And then we won a couple more, and then the streak ended at Clemson. Ugh.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I think we figured it out. Just that Ralph, that was what we needed. We just needed some hook to hang it on.
I thought he said Ralph at first.
I did too. I thought, oh gosh, we're going up against the Colorado mascot. That's not fair. He's got four legs and weighs 800 pounds. But I think that was what we needed. Let's see.
Van, John, if you guys put it together, you have figured out that this is the Mississippi State game in 2011.
Yes.
I want to thank AU Tweep for sending that in. If you'd like to send in a guess the game like AU Tweep did, you can hit me up on social media. I am at Yard Sale Artist, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. It's all at Yard Sale Artist. And you can email me directly. I am Jared. That's J-A-R-R-O-D at theyardsaleartist.com. Until next time, Van, John, Warwick.
Yeah, that was a good one. Well, I said Ralph, and then you said Ralph, and I'm like, Ralph. So, yeah, that was what we needed was that one name. That one name, and it all...
That was a good one.
It all made sense. That was a good one. All right. Let's quickly check in the mailbox.
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone podcast.
There they are.
What do we got?
There they are. We got one email this week, so I'm putting it on you, the listener.
All right.
Let's go. Let's bring send us some good stuff the next few weeks. This is from Bill Miner, following up on his great suggestion for last week.
Oh, yeah.
He has more plays to nominate for our future bracket where we're going to rank the plays and vote them. He says, here's my nomination for a memorable and key play to discuss. Carter knocking the ball out of Ingram's hand to go out the back of the end zone to prevent the came back from getting out of hand. I think that is a gigantic play in Auburn history.
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely.
He says
that's a national championship winning play as much as any play that season.
That's right. He says it'll be fun since everyone values things differently and weighs moments differently. I think of crucial plays. If they didn't happen, the end result isn't going to happen. I know I expect the kick six to like who went out, but it'll be fun to see the matchup against punt, Bama punt, among others.
Honestly, you could make a case that the play he's referring to is more important in terms of outcomes for Auburn football history than the kick six.
It's fair.
Which is insane, but it's true. Maybe we should make that list in our little extra file, the new file we've created. That way, just kind of put it at the bottom or something, and we can just add to it whenever we want to, and it'll be right there.
I like it. But I want suggestions from the listeners and the patrons. I want to hear a play or two or three plays that you think need to be on here.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll definitely go and put that one. That was good. And I don't know if I would have thought of it. It's been a while.
Okay. I'm going to throw it. This could be a 16 seed, but I'm throwing it on there. You ready?
Yeah.
Tank Bigsby run against Alabama like 2 years ago. The fourth down, if he'd got a first down, maybe Harsin keeps his job.
Well, it wasn't the greatest play, but it was certainly a consequential
one. You're talking about important.
Yeah, it depends on how you define it, I guess, but that's fair. Okay.
We're going to have some real discussions about criteria.
Yeah. I think that's true. No, because there's no question that you're right. That's a very, very critical play. I don't know if it's the greatest play, but it's certainly a critical play. So we'll have to nail down exactly what we're looking for and all that, so that's fine. All right, so that was the only question?
That's it.
That just lets me go to bed earlier. That's all right. We'll get more questions coming up. Let's see. Let's hop in the Aubiemobile, fire it up a little bit. It's currently competing in Fantasy Formula One, so the engine's all tuned up and ready to roll.
Let's take a trip around the FTC.
It's a hybrid. They've been harvesting electrical power as they go around the corners. So what else is going around at the SEC? What do we know about other spring games? Have we got any information or any news from other spring games or anything?
I think Alabama and LSU are coming up next weekend. A lot of other ones were Saturday. Still reading reports. Nothing huge, exciting. I think there's going to be a bunch of other SEC players in the transfer portal. That'll be something to watch.
Yeah.
And maybe this may never be done with coaching movement, too. It's always something to keep an eye on.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that's out there is, we've entered a new era where none of the SEC spring games are on regular television.
Oh, yeah. I had a heck of a time getting our game. I had to go into the ESPN app, log in as my wife, and then get it on the Apple TV. That's crazy.
I'm going to give you a couple of guesses. Can you name the one Power 5 school whose spring game is on regular ESPN?
Georgia.
No.
Notre Dame.
No.
Ohio State.
Nope.
I don't know then.
Colorado.
Oh, there you go. Yep. Yep. It's all what is of interest to the viewer.
Mm-hmm.
I'd watch that. It hadn't happened yet, has it? Or has it already happened?
Maybe it happened. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
I'm not losing sleep about it either way.
So. No, but if I turned on the TV and it was there, I'd probably sit down for 5-10 minutes and watch it just to see Dion in action and see what it all is about. But a team that you couldn't have pulled a gun on somebody and make them take tickets from you or watch it in the past, and now they've certainly at least they found a way to get people interested in it, and that's good for them. So, all right, well. That's another show in the books. I think our takeaways tonight are A-Days are boring, but we still can't look away. And we need a new assistant basketball coach. And we're still pulling in people from the basketball portal. And we still may be pulling in people in the football portal in the next few days, next couple of weeks. So keep an eye on that. And any other final thoughts?
Well, I think it's a lot of roster action out there, kind of still coming. It ain't over. That carousel hasn't stopped yet. So we're going
to
pick up a few people circling in through the portal, I think. And it's going to be make a difference on both teams.
I think so. But the end result is always the same. Is
I want you to put the word out there that we back up. Understand me? We back up.
Back up. And then I want it to where when we go in other stadiums, their fans, their players, their coaches look at us and go,
there they are.
Oh, yeah. All right. Our time is up. We thank you for your word, John.
Where are you, man?
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at @auwishbone and at facebook.com/auwishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone podcast.